This is Scott, and you're listening to Fine Tune You with Helen, your home for holistically balanced living. Find us at www.finetuneyou.com and enjoy helpful, inspiring, and amusing information. In addition to being a wife, mother, and grandmother, Helen is an intuitive counselor, life coach, holistic theologian, spiritual guide, and guided imagery expert. As a graduate of the American Institute of Holistic Theology, Helen has her master's degree in metaphysics and is working toward her doctorate in metaphysics and holistic ministries.
Thank you so much, Scott, and welcome everyone. I'm so excited to be starting this series. This is a long-term dream for me. Our program is called Living Holistically in a Messy Life. And who doesn't have at least some mess in their lives? If you're able to meditate 2 or 3 hours a day and you don't have any chaos in your life, this show probably isn't for you. But if your life is a little messy or a whole lot messy, this show might be something you will find interesting. Before we officially begin this show, let me tell you just a little bit about me. Yes, as Scott told you, I am a wife, a mother, a grandmother, but like all of us, I'm so much more. Over time, you're going to get to know me really well, warts and all, and believe me, there are plenty of warts. If you think I have all the answers, let me assure you, I don't, not even close. But I do believe that collectively, we each have something to offer to inspire or encourage each other. This is our show, and I really just want to be the moderator. Let me start by giving you a brief chronological overview of my life. As a child, I grew up in a wonderful home. I was a surprise baby for much older parents. My mom was very Victorian in her style and also very conservative. And we knew we weren't to complain. But truthfully, there was very little to complain about when it came to my parents and oldest brother. But I had another brother, who was also much older, who I was terrified of, and he abused me. He told me that if I told anyone what was happening, I would be sorry, and I knew his threats were very real, way too real. So there I was, a very little girl, living with a horrifically dark secret. No child should grow up living with that kind of fear. Yet many of us know that too many children did and continue to live today with all forms of abuse. So yes, I am a survivor of verbal, emotional, physical, and sexual abuse. By the time I turned 19, I knew I couldn't take it any longer. Telling my parents was not an option. So I met a sailor who was about to be transferred to Hawaii and ran off and married him to escape my brother's abuse. The next 4 years, I spent most of my time pregnant. I had several miscarriages, 2 premature baby boys, a stillborn baby, and then a baby girl. In 1968, I started losing my vision. First, I lost the central vision in my left eye. Then in 1972, my right eye started bleeding. Though I lost most of my vision due to a disease that caused the macular degeneration, not age-related, I'm not totally blind. I am legally blind, which means I can't drive a car, read street signs, read some print materials, or make out the center of most people's faces, even with corrective glasses. Then in 1981, I adopted a 2-month-old baby from Korea who had been born with a very severe form of spina bifida. He wasn't supposed to survive past 4, yet this past January, he reached the ripe old age of 29. He is medically fragile, requires constant assessment, and faces regular medical emergencies, the latest of which was this last November, where we didn't have one, we had 2 life-threatening emergencies. So today, I have 3 surviving children, my 2 youngest sons and 1 daughter. November 1985, my oldest son, Davy, was diagnosed with full-blown AIDS. He survived until April 1, 1995. Being diagnosed during the early days of AIDS, he was considered a long-term survivor. Just as Davy entered high school, I had learned he was gay. And I felt ashamed because homosexuality wasn't talked about in my circle of friends, and if it was discussed, it was considered a perversion that needed to be corrected. And then right after that, I learned my other son was gay too. I really felt like I'd been knocked over the head. My life was such a paradox. There I'd been sexually abused as a child, but so sheltered by my family, I didn't have a clue about the variances that existed within human sexuality. In fact, a few years earlier, the term homosexuality was extremely foreign to me. I am so ashamed to say it took me several years to understand the complexities of my boys' lives and accept and love them for who they were without wanting to change them. But I took the time to educate myself, and I learned that homosexuality is no more a choice than heterosexuality is. And fortunately, my boys forgave me for my horrific behavior that I had when I first learned about their sexuality. Looking back at my oldest son's life, and knowing what I know now, I believe he struggled with so much more than just homosexuality. I believe he might have been what we call transgender today. I certainly had never heard of transgender, not even by the time he died in 1995. And I don't think he heard of it either. I just know he struggled to be comfortable with his sexuality his whole life. He so loved life, but was tormented by others about his sexuality. He just wanted to be accepted. My second son was in a horrible automobile accident Valentine's Day, 1994, and suffered a traumatic head injury. He broke 3 vertebrae in his neck, 3 of the 4 that Christopher Reeve broke, and at first they thought he would be paralyzed, but he recovered beautifully. He lives nearby, and we have a wonderfully warm relationship. My daughter has 3 sons, ranging in age from 26 to 14, but sadly, she lives in Seattle, and I live in Honolulu, really an ocean apart. So I don't see her or my 3 grandsons as often as I would like. So now that you have a brief overview of my life, let's take a quick peek at how and why I shifted toward holistic living. As I said earlier, I was raised in a pretty conservative household, but I also was living with the repercussions of abuse. So I experimented with what would be considered fringe ideas off and on for years. But again, I did all experimenting very cautiously, the great conflict between conservative and looking at something that might be new age. I didn't want to be too far out there because of my upbringing and because I didn't want to worry my parents any more than I knew in my heart they all were already worried. They knew something was bothering me, but none of us ever discussed that elephant in the room. In 1966, when cassette recorders became pretty popular, I found that if I made recordings that encouraged me and then listened to them, I was doing what is called today guided imagery. Those recordings were in many ways one of my saving graces, for those recordings helped me survive the horrible memories of abuse that swirled in my head. Those recordings calmed the memories of abuse without the side effects of any drugs. Little did I know I was making guided imagery tapes, and little did I know that guided imagery would become a mainstay of holistic living. A few years later, I started studying nutrition-rich foods and how they affected our bodies. I expanded those studies to include the benefits of different supplements. And I found myself moving another step closer to the world of holistic living. In 1981, when we adopted Joshua, he was a very fragile baby. And there were so many complex medical problems that within a few days I felt as if I'd been plunged into a medical school crash course. But there were also problems which the doctors didn't have any answers for. Like just before I'd gotten him, they'd done surgery on his head, but the wound, where the skin was so thin on that wound that the stitches kept tearing open, shredding the skin. The doctors were convinced that this open wound would never heal, would become infected, and would kill him. But I knew in my heart Joshua was supposed to live, even though the doctors had basically given up, waiting for him to die. I wasn't waiting. I was thinking creatively. Now, I had a history of using apple cider vinegar for some of my older children's skin problems, and I'd had some success with it. I couldn't see how we had anything to lose if I tried apple cider vinegar on Joshie's wounds. But I didn't tell the doctors what I had planned because I feared they would tell me that it wouldn't be safe. And if they told me that, I knew I would stop using it because I had and I still have deep respect for the medical community. But in my heart, I believed that apple cider vinegar would work. So I carried a bottle of apple cider vinegar and cotton balls with me everywhere, dabbing apple cider vinegar on the opening all the time. And amazingly, within 6 weeks, that opening healed. The doctors were totally amazed, and even more amazed when I told them I had used apple cider vinegar to heal his wound. They actually told me they were glad I had not told them. They would have told me to stop using it. It was during this period that I decided I needed to learn as much as I could about holistic options, not necessarily for me, but so Joshua could survive. So living holistically has been a way my messy life has gained some stability, hope, and balance, and health. And that's what this program is all about, how we can all deepen our holistic walk into the messy areas of our life and gain some stability, hope, balance, and health. So I ask you to join me as we start this journey into living holistically in a messy life. And I would like to begin with one of my favorite stories. It's a story about a butterfly. This story starts with a cocoon and a man. This man found a cocoon, and it fascinated him. He watched that cocoon day after day until one day he noticed a small opening appeared. The man sat amazed. He watched the butterfly for hours as it struggled to squeeze its body through the tiny hole. But then the butterfly stopped struggling as if it couldn't go any further. The man, feeling sorry for the butterfly, decided he must help it escape the cocoon. He went and got a pair of scissors and snipped off the remaining bits of that cocoon, and the butterfly came out easily. But its body didn't look like any butterfly he'd ever seen before. It was swollen, and its wings were shriveled. The man cared so much for this butterfly. He continued to watch it. He kept waiting for its wings to enlarge and expand. He kept waiting for the butterfly to fly away. But the butterfly, instead, his wings never expanded. He spent its life crawling, never able to fly. What the man, in his kindness and haste, didn't understand was that the restricting cocoon and struggle required by the butterfly to get through the opening was a way of forcing the fluid from the body into the wings so that it would be ready for flight once it escaped the cocoon. So why would this sad story be one of my favorite stories? Well, when I hear the story of the butterfly, I think about each of the struggles I've faced over my life and how many times I grew stronger. And those times were only the times I was willing to walk through the problem without looking for the easy way out. I believe that living holistically in a messy life is a challenge, much like the challenge the butterfly faced when breaking out of the cocoon. But it's also an opportunity to grow. And as we face challenges, we do need to allow for rest along the way, just as the butterfly was actually doing when it stopped struggling to escape the cocoon. But we must not let anyone or anything stop us or permanently detour us from our goal. No one can tackle our challenges for us. We must do it for ourselves, or we will remain crippled. We must not allow anyone to protect or pamper us just to avoid the challenges of life. We need to recognize that pampering, when done for the wrong reason, is as crippling to us as not allowing the butterfly to work its way out of the cocoon was crippling to it. So let's look at a brief overview of what we will be discussing throughout our Living Holistically in a Messy Life series. This series is not meant to be an easy feel-good show, though for those who stay with us and dig into your being, one of the results will be that you might recognize an area or two blocking your becoming whole. And if you're willing to address those areas and shift to new understanding, you're going to feel better than good. For you, the results are going to be wonderful. Don't let anyone convince you that holistically balanced living is a waste of time or impossible to achieve. Living holistically in a messy life takes effort. It requires that we tap into our personal courage, courage we may have buried, courage we can now use to create the life we were meant to live, a life filled with wonder and peace, a life filled with love and adventure. Living holistically in a messy life requires us to look deep within ourselves, into those dark corners where we never want to look, and change some of the destructive habits, customs, or behaviors that have been a part of us, possibly for our whole lives. You might want to get a paper and pencil so that you can jot down any questions or thoughts you might have as we go over different areas. Or you might want to jot down some aha moments to reflect on later to call and share with us. So please get yourself a paper and pencil, and we're going to take a break.
Are you ready to achieve your deepest dreams, enhance your healing, or offer your best to the world? Then visit us at www.findtuneyou.com. where we've been since 1998. As you search our website, you will find encouragement, inspiration, and amusing information. If you are ready for spiritual guidance, life coaching, holistic centering, or a personalized interactive guided imagery recording, send an email to helen@findtuneyou.com or call her at 877-469-5505, extension 1. We want to hear from you. We want to hear about the messes and challenges in your life, the passions you have neglected, your concerns, your curiosities, and your questions. We hope you'll stay with us for a while, commenting, questioning, and listening. For those in the U.S. and Canada, call toll-free at 1-888-815-9756 to speak with Helen.
Okay, let's take a quick peek at what living holistically in a messy life can lead to. Living holistically through living its messy situations allows each of us to accomplish greater possibilities than we would have if we had never tried to sort out some of our messes. And living holistically opens up some of those dark doors most of us have and allows us to dig down and clean out some of our personal garbage. It encourages us to commit each day to be our very best selves, to care our very best for ourselves, and then to commit our very best to others and to live with complete honesty. One of the most wonderful elements of living holistically in a messy life is we can finally be our authentic self. Oh, how nice that would be. And live by our deepest convictions, not somebody else's plan for us. It reminds us that we don't exist in a vacuum, that we have a responsibility to our neighbors, to our community, to our nation, to our environment, and to the carbon footprint we leave behind. We have to remember that while living in a messy life, we're provided with more than enough love and positive energy to meet all our needs on every single level if we'll just tap into it. It permits us to exceed our dreams and goals in every aspect of our life. People who live holistically, even though living through messy situations, talk themselves into doing and being and living intentional lives. While people whose lives are overwhelming without any holistic balance talk themselves out of those challenges. If you're living a balanced life, you're living holistically, whether you recognized it before now or not. So to save some time struggling with how to start this journey, let's begin with an overview of the major areas we really should look at. What are those major areas from which all other supports of our being springs? Our mind, our body, and our spirit. Those are three areas, very similar to the three-legged stool, recognizing that the strength lies in the weight of being equally set upon each leg as a whole. And if one leg is taken away, the whole stool is useless and actually becomes dangerous. So it is with the three major areas of our life. If we forget about one area, our life becomes ineffective and precarious at best. As we look at these areas, let's peek at some of the supports that branch off of. We need to look at our mind. The physical and emotional aspects overlap because we have to include our brain, which is also included under the physical aspect of our body, and our emotional area. So here we need to look at how we use our intellect, our intelligence, our mental power, our wit, our understanding of ourselves, and how do we look at the world. We need to look at our emotions. Our emotions are associated with our feelings. How honest are we about our feelings? Are we honest about our sensitivity and our passions? Are we honest about how we follow through when facing challenges? Every single day we face a wide range of emotions, and it's generally believed that we experience seven basic emotions, some of them simultaneously. Our emotions can range from barely recognizable to totally devastating, or from menacing to comforting. Now, the most generally recognized emotions are anger, fear, grief, joy, love, surprise, and trust. I think most of us have experienced anger and its complexities, from simply being annoyed to total frustration. Anger is that gut feeling of unhappiness at the circumstances or people around us. Anger can include resentment, exasperation. It can include rage and fury, just to mention a few ways anger can express itself. How often are we willing to look at ourselves and recognize we are being angry? Fear can have really long-lasting effects and affect us both physically and mentally. If you don't deal with your fear properly, it can cause trauma that can take years of therapy to deal with, kind of like the trauma from abuse. But rational fear is a healthy survival tool. Fear can include feelings of apprehension, terror, panic, and dread. But we need to recognize that, on the other hand, many of our phobias are based in irrational fear. Then we have grief, that mental suffering that we live through over the great loss or painful experience. Most of us have experienced grief if we've lived long enough. It ranges from general overall sadness or disappointment to full despair. Grief experiences can include anguish, heartache, misery, melancholy, sorrow, pain, and woe. If any of these emotions you're connecting with, please call us at 888-815-9756. Then we have joy. You know, joy is at the opposite end of our emotional spectrum. A person can transform into a glowing ninny over joy, and I have been accused of that. Often, joy infects others. In fact, a lot of times you don't realize that your joy can bring another person's day up. Joy includes delight, happiness, exhilaration, excitement, pleasure, bliss, and contentment. Love. I think we all know love is probably the strongest emotion of the seven basic emotions, and it's what bonds people. Love can range from fondness to adoration to deep passion. Now, how many of you even think of surprise as an emotion? But it is. It's a sudden emotion. Surprise can be a pleasant or terrifying feeling, but it's that taken off guard feeling that is the feeling of surprise. Surprise includes shock, astonishment, being startled, flabbergasted, having the wind taken out of your sails, alarmed or stunned. Trust is probably the emotion that's the most steadying. It's considered an asset and self-confidence. On the one side, trust allows us to remain hopeful in the face of tragedy. And on the other, trust allows us to remain unguarded in our relationships with others. Trust includes conviction, hope, faith, and belief in others or in a situation. So now we've looked at the seven basic types of emotion experienced by most of us. To recap, we're talking about anger, fear, grief, joy, love, surprise, and trust. So we've covered our mind. Let's take a peek at our body. What supports branch off from our body? Well, it's obvious we have the physical aspects of our body, both inside and out, such as the health of our major organ systems, along with smaller organs associated with each of those major systems. I think sometimes we forget that we are a beautifully complex system. No wonder we need to do our part to keep every part of us running properly. Did you know we have 11? Yes, I said 11 major organ systems. Systems that I think we take for granted until they let us know that they are in trouble. I'm going to be giving you a brief rundown of these systems, and no, this is not a medical show. But I really believe that if you want to live holistically, we need to understand some of the basic aspects that make up our life and our body. Kind of like you may not know how the gasoline runs your car, but you do know if you don't have gasoline because it doesn't run. We need to know what our different organs need to run properly. So, first we have our circulatory system, which includes our cardiovascular organs. That's our heart and our blood. Then we have our lymphatic organs, which includes our lymph nodes and vessels. That also includes our tonsils and adenoids, which a lot of us had removed when we were young, our thymus and our spleen. These organs transfer lymphatic fluid between our tissue and our bloodstream that transport white blood cells to keep our immune system defended against disease. Then there's our digestive system, which includes primary and secondary digestive systems. Did you know that? The main one, the primary one, is our mouth, our stomach, our intestines, and our rectum. The secondary is our teeth, our tongue, our liver, and our pancreas. Those teeth, that's why we need to chew our food, so that when they get to our intestines and stomach, it's chewed up properly. Then we have our endocrine system, which includes our pituitary gland, our pineal gland, ovaries, testes, thyroid gland. And then we have our integumentary system, which is probably the biggest system we have in word and in reality, because that's our skin. Did you ever stop to realize that your skin is an organ? Well, that also includes your nails, your hair, and your sweat glands. We all know we have muscles, but did you realize we have three different kinds of muscles? We have that old cardiac muscle that keeps our heart going. The muscle we need to take care of and exercise so that it does keep going. We have our skeletal muscles and our visceral muscles. All these muscles comprise our muscular system. Then we have our nervous system. Our brain with its zillion functions, most of which we probably haven't even tapped into yet, and the neurons that are in our nervous system. Probably this next system, the reproductive system, we probably know more about than any of them because most of us like sex. But just for the record, let's cover what the reproductive organs are. For males, it's the testes, the scrotum, the penis, the vas deferens, the prostate, and for females, the ovaries, the uterus, the vagina, and the mammary glands. We all know breathing is necessary for life, but did you realize that our respiratory system includes not only your lungs, but your nose, your trachea, and the bronchi within your lungs? Then we have our skeletal system, which is pretty straightforward, bones and joints. Our urinary system. It's so critical for flushing toxins out of our body. It includes our kidneys, our bladder, our urethra, and the ureters. So that covers our 11 primary organ systems: our circulatory, digestive, endocrine, integumentary, lymphatic, muscular, skeletal, nervous, respiratory, reproductive, and urinary systems. And this is really just the most basic aspect of our body. When was the last time you even took a moment to stop and think about how wondrously intricate we are made? So that does conclude our brief overview of our body. But let's look at the last of our three major areas, our spirit. Here we need to look at our practice of meditation, prayer, and contemplation, all of which expand our interior life or spirit. As we expand our quiet thoughts, we see our own spirituality, our humanity, what we believe, how we express our beliefs, what we see as our holiness, all leading to an experience of connectedness with the larger truths of our universe. So let's take another break now and let them give you the number to call in case you're interested.
O's Acupuncture is where modern technology is blended with Eastern-style wellness. O's approach is to combine the old with the latest scientific technology. He transforms various ancient texts, then uses Hippocrates' principles to combine the best of Eastern and Western healing techniques. O provides you with the latest of modern alternatives, along with the most traditional of Eastern healing techniques. It's time to start taking care of your mind, body, and spirit. Achieve balanced health. Outlive your friends. Defy time. Change your destiny. O's, located at 8 Immortal Center, 1188 Bishop Street, Suite 2409, in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. Call 548-7711 to schedule your evaluation. Make an appointment today. Call 548-7711. We want to hear from you. We want to hear about the messes and challenges in your life, the passions you have neglected, your concerns, your curiosities, and your questions. We hope you'll stay with us for a while, commenting, questioning, and listening. For those in the U.S. and Canada, call toll-free at 1-888-815-9756 to speak with Helen.
So these are the three major areas that we're going to be looking at and the supports that they include. The foundation for these three major areas I call the nitty-gritty or small deals, small detail supports that can improve or diminish our major areas. I really believe it's how we address these nitty-gritty or small detail supports that has a tremendous bearing in determining whether we blossom or collapse. So let's take a brief look at some of these supports that branch off from the major areas. Let's look at those areas that bring harmony to our three areas. Our profession, our finances, our character, our heritage or legacy, our creativity, our adventurousness, our recreation, and then our material stuff. So first, let's take a look at concerning our professional lives. Are we really doing what we want to do with our skills, our training, our certifications that we worked so hard to get, our licenses? Did we really follow our dreams or did we follow someone else's dreams? And if we haven't accomplished our dreams for our profession, why not? What's holding us back? Then I think we should look at our finances. Especially in these turbulent times, finances are more important than ever. Are we spending wisely? And if we're fortunate enough to have a job, are we saving for emergencies or for the future? Then, of course, you know, we have to look at our character, whether we want to or not. What is our personality? Are we serious, quiet, interested in security, reserved, kind, conscientious, sensitive or reflective? Are we idealistic? Independent? Maybe we're analytical and determined. Are we logical or creative? Are we really friendly and adaptable? Are we one of those action-oriented doers? Or are we practical, traditional, organized? Are we people-oriented or fun-loving? Are we warm-hearted, popular, conscientious, enthusiastic, idealistic? Are we one of those people that's able to do almost anything that interests us? Do we have excellent people skills? Are we externally focused with a real concern for how others think and feel? Are we resourceful? Are we intellectually quick, or do we have to ponder things? Are we assertive and outspoken, or are we maybe a teeny bit shy? Are we driven to be the leader? How do we behave? What qualities are we nurturing? Are they positive qualities or negative qualities? What makes up our moral fiber? When it comes to our disposition, what kind of temperament are we known for? That's a little look at our character. Let's take a peek at our relationships now. Who do we associate with? How do we deal with strangers, with family members, with other loved ones? Do we have relationships or do we shut everyone out? Are the relationships we have healthy? I know I've had some relationship issues, especially trust issues related to the opposite sex. One of the leftover issues from my years of abuse. Do you have any relationship issues that apply to you? If you do, give us a call and let us know some of the issues you're facing. The number would be 1-888-815-9756. Then we need to look at our heritage or our legacy. It encompasses not only what we leave, but also what we inherited. What did we inherit emotionally, physically, mentally, and materially that we need to examine that we could possibly be passing on to our children or even our friends and loved ones? What legacy do we want people to remember about us or learn? We don't want them to learn some things after we're gone. It might be too late to correct. Like, how have we lived during those moments when no one's watching? What do we want to leave materially, emotionally, spiritually for our children, our friends and partners? What will be the last thing our children, friends, and partners remember about us? Then let's look at our creativity. Have we tapped into our own unique originality, our unique imagination? Are we inspired? And what about that inborn ingenuity that really lies within each of us? Have we discovered ways to be inventive? Have we been resourceful? Have we taken the time to tap into our vision that we know is in our heart? Have we even bothered to realize how creative we are? Then let's look at our adventurousness. What a big word, a real tongue twister. But the reality is, how brave are we? How daring? How much risk are we willing to take? How courageous are we? What are the choices that we're willing to make? Recreation. You know, we all need to play. How do we spend our leisure time? What are our hobbies? Are they healthy or maybe not so healthy? Do we find ways and time to play? Do we like sports? Do we like to play or watch? Do we include others in our play, or do we play alone, like maybe on our computer and shut everyone out? How do we amuse ourselves? And then last, we really need to look at the material stuff of our lives. How important are our material possessions? They're the big items, like our home, our car, maybe boats and luxury items. Where are they on your personal list of importance? And what about all the stuff, the bits and pieces, the objects, the collections, the junk, the things we haven't even touched in years? When will we let them go? Have you had any experience in any of these areas that made you realize something about yourself? If you have, give us a call at 1-888-815-9756. Over the next weeks, we're going to look at these nitty-gritty supports and delve even deeper into other microscopic areas as we look at living holistically balanced lives. But this week, as we start with an overview of the three major areas that we need to address, we need to look at those so we can achieve balance. We need to remember that all the areas and supports overlap, whether they're major or minor areas. And in the long run, we need to look at the huge and micro areas, because we are human beings, one unit with many complex parts. It's the well balancing of these parts that shifts us from disturbed to well-adjusted. Have you been thinking about any of these areas and how they're working or not working in your life? Let's look at how living holistically in a messy life does relate to our lives, and what are some of the things we should be looking at? What areas or supports in our life are not working, and yet we keep repeating the same pattern over and over and over and over? Which reminds me of a wonderful poem by Portia Nelson. It's called Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters. It's from Nelson's book, The Hole in the Sidewalk. Chapter 1, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I'm helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Chapter 2, I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend that I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it's there. I still fall in. It's a habit. But my eyes are open. I know where I am, and I know it's my fault, and I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walk down another street. How does this poem relate to how we live our lives? I know I've fallen in that hole so many times before learning to go around the hole and then just finally learning to go down another street. Probably more than the person in this poem. But let's look at how some of those areas not working down the sidewalk of our life are. Let's look at what we tolerate, what we remain frustrated about, what we desire but do nothing about. And why, where do we compromise our integrity? What are the shoulds and shouldn'ts in our life that we really need to look at? Are we motivated by nameless or unfulfilled needs? Do we even recognize how often we make mistakes out of those unnamed needs? An example, we're really lonely, but instead of recognizing our loneliness and finding a healthy solution, we become involved in unhealthy relationships. What obstacles do we set up to stop us from tapping into our own unique gifts? Don't tell me you don't have any. Everyone has unique gifts. That would be an area we should look at closely. And what about our core values? Those values we include after our basic needs are met. So again, I ask, what about our core values? Do we like creating, learning, teaching, playing? Do we have balance? Do we have integrity? Are we innovative? Do we have balance within our family? What are our core values? And what do we really want? Yes, I said want. We've met our needs, we've discovered our core values, and embraced them. So now, what do we want? If we don't have our needs met, if we don't have our core values clear, our wants could be so totally confused and distorted that we could confuse them for our needs. So let's look at some basic questions. How well are we doing in the mind, body, spirit areas of our lives? What do we want for others? It's normal to want to help others. What is holding us back from living holistically balanced even though our life is messy? Are we stressed? What are the stressors in our lives? And can we manage to lessen or remove those stressors? Have you realized something that used to stress you that has actually turned into a blessing to help you reach beyond your old self? Are you willing to share your shift with us? Please give us a call at 1-888-815-9756. What are we tolerating or enduring or putting up with? How can we turn our negatives into positives? What in our life is going really well? How can we expand on that? Who in our life is important to us, and how are they important? How can we let them know that we value them? And how can we expand our circle of support? What area of our life is going the way we want? What area isn't? Again, what do we need to do to get the malfunctioning areas on track? What do we need to accomplish to feel our life is fulfilled and complete? What areas or area, even could be just one, of our life do we like the most? And what area or areas of our life do we like the least? What are we willing to do to change those areas or expand them? What drives us? What areas in our life are we irrational or reckless? In general, is our life going the way we want, or is it headed for disaster? Most of us have small pockets of balance, no matter how unbalanced our lives are. Are we willing to look at those pockets and build on them? What are the habits that limit or stop us from living holistically balanced? And what makes us feel really bad about ourselves? So we've gone over some questions that should challenge us to reflect on our choices. How can we make healthier choices, safer choices, and more productive choices? If you have suggestions, please call and share your ideas with our other listeners at 1-888-815-9756. Now let's look at some of the truths we have buried under the fundamental lies that we tell ourselves. Why, we ask, does it matter if we tell lies to ourselves? It's just us telling us. Nobody's getting hurt, right? Wrong. We're hurting ourselves because those lies control many of our thoughts and actions, and the end results, we end up being angry and lashing out at others many times because we just don't want to admit we're wrong. Are we willing to look at our own stubbornness to help us release our hassles and our baseless anger? So today, this week, let's look at some truths we've stuffed down because of pride or fear, and let this truth be a starting point, a catalyst to help us expose those lies we've told ourselves for so long, those lies we've come to believe as truth. Maybe we need to start with our parents. What's true about our parents that we've never mentioned or even wanted to think about? Maybe they did a better job than we wanted to admit, and maybe they did the best they could. Maybe they failed us miserably, but when will we stop blaming our actions or behaviors on how they raised us? What's the real truth about why we haven't achieved our dreams and goals? Who do we blame? What do we kid ourselves about that we kid ourselves that we want to change? And we kid ourselves over and over and over, but we don't change. Do we kid ourselves about how we plan to look for a different job? Or that we plan to change our way of eating or lose those extra pounds we keep saying we want to lose? When will we actually start to exercise on a regular basis? When will we end that dead-end relationship or eliminate or reduce stresses and drains on our spirit? Are we hanging on to childish desires because we're afraid to let them go? Or are our hopes connected to our childhood fantasies and we're afraid to change because it might mean growing up? What are we hoping for? Are our dreams realistic or unrealistic? Do you have any deep, dark secrets? You know, that dark place that we hide from everybody because we're so embarrassed and so ashamed? Did you know those dark parts of ourselves that we hide stop us from healing? It's our secrets, those dark, nasty places that we hide or deny so thoroughly, that keep us locked away from our authentic selves. If there's nothing else you remember from this show, remember, we're only as sick as our darkest secret. Now let's shift our focus to something just slightly. How can we turn our negatives into positives? We've looked at our dark secrets. How do we turn that into a positive? What steps do we need to take to achieve success and happiness? One thing is we could look at our goals, or the lack thereof. Most goals aren't perfect the first time we think of them, and most goals need fine-tuning, adjusting, either by changing them, clarifying them, or simplifying them. That needed adjusting is one of the reasons I started Fine Tune You 12 years ago. What do we want to accomplish? Are our goals value-based or not even goals, but just a vague idea that we cling to? Are our goals measurable or just a pipe dream? Are they tangible, like earning a degree, or intangible, like let's have world peace? I know that setting goals that aren't really goals has applied to me in the past. Have you made the same mistake? Are we taking care of ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually? Have we let go of or resolved our past problems? Are we willing to recognize our boundaries? Are they healthy? I know I actually had to learn what a boundary was because of my abuse. My brother's abuse had robbed me of that knowledge. And as an adult, I had to learn about boundaries. Are we working on improving our self-esteem and confidence? And if we've screwed up our lives, which a lot of us have, what are we doing to restore our integrity, our honesty, and our truthfulness? What about our surroundings? Do we have support? Do we have someone to help if the going gets too tough? Do we have a daily routine? Is our home safe and loving? Well, this has been a very limited overview. Lots of questions with very few answers, which is what I wanted. Because I want you to challenge yourself to look inside and realize your strengths and where you want to focus your attention. Please, don't worry about your partner or your friends or your children. This journey is to help you look at you. Not your partner, not your friends, not your children. We're looking at us. We've looked at the three major areas and some of the supports that make up our lives. And I would like to suggest that you spend some time this week journaling. And give us a call next week to let us know what you've discovered, both negative and positive. It's that talking about the negative that allows for healing. So this week, we have started our journey toward a fuller life. Hopefully, a living holistically in a messy life. I thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing each of you next week when we will continue our journey toward holistic living by looking deeper into the first major area we need to address, our mind.
You have been listening to Fine Tune You with Helen. We hope you'll return next week to continue our discussion on living holistically in a messy life. As you go through this week, remember, you are not a human being going through a temporary spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being going through a temporary human experience.